Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. We are here in ISKCON, Los Angeles, New Dwarka, to listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, The Creative Impetus, Chapter Number 15, The Glories of the Descendants of King Priyavrata. Today's verse is number 12. Currently, in the internet here in Los Angeles, we have 72 devotees listening and watching. And on Mayapur.tv, we have 8 devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees, both here in the temple room and on the internet. And I especially want to send my blessings to my friends and well-wishers in Santiago, Chile. Thank you for attending. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasyadvare Bhagavan Advargatma Magno, excuse me, Magoni Madhyati Uru Soma Pite Shraddha Vishuddhachala Bhakti Yoga Samarpitejya Phalam Ajahara Yasyadvare Bhagavan Advaratma Maghoni Madhyat Yurusoma Pite Shraddha Visuddhachala Bhakti Yoga Samarpiteja Phalam Ajahara. Please chant, Prabhus. Ladies, anyone else. Let us then do the synonyms. Yasya, of whom? King Gaya. Advare, in his different sacrifices. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Advarya Atma, the Supreme Enjoyer of all sacrifices. The Yajna Purusha, Maghoni, when King Indra, Madhyati, intoxicated, Uru, greatly, Somapite, drinking the intoxicant called Soma, Sraddha, by devotion, Vishuddha, purified, Achala, and steady. Bhakti Yoga, by devotional service. Samarpita, offered. Ijja, of worshipping. Phalam, the result. Ajahara, accepted personally. Please repeat after me, if you would be so kind. In Maharaj Gaya's sacrifices, there was a great supply of the intoxicant known as Soma. King Indra used to come and become intoxicated by drinking large quantities of Somarus. Also, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Yajna Purusha, also came and personally accepted all the sacrifices offered unto him with pure and firm devotion in the sacrificial arena. Purport by His Divine Grace, the ISKCON Founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Gaya was so perfect that he satisfied all the demigods who were headed by the heavenly King Indra. Lord Vishnu himself also personally came to the sacrificial arena to accept the offerings. Although Maharaj Gaya did not want them, he received all the blessings of the demigods and the Supreme Lord himself. That ends the purport for today. Trinadapi sinichena tarar iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari hare nama hare nama hare nama eva kevalam Kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatir anyata. So, it says here, Advara Atma, the Supreme Enjoyer of all sacrifices, the Yajna Purusha. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasang, that he is the beneficiary, he is the enjoyer of all kinds of sacrifices, penances, austerities. Also in the Bhagavad Gita, at the last chapter, Krishna says that acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance have to be performed. Otherwise, and this is purifying even for the great souls, even they should do acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance. And then we learn in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that unless you perform sacrifice, yajna, then you will become entangled in whatever you're doing in this material world. The sacrifices have been instituted since the dawn of creation so that the living entities can become liberated. We're prisoners here. We are criminals, but we can become paroled. we can become liberated. The process is to perform yajna, sacrifice. One of the thousand names of Lord Vishnu is yajna, or here it says yajna purusha, to emphasize that he is a person. So basically, sacrifice means, what does Sutra Goswami say? Sang Siddhir Hari Toshanam. The perfection of life is to somehow or other satisfy Hari, another name for God, one who takes away all of our suffering condition, one who takes away the very things that are causing us to remain prisoners. Some people don't like this Hari because they think, oh, if I worship God, if I chant His name, He's going to take everything away from me. I don't want that. I like my house. I like my car. I like my bank balance. Therefore, I'm not going to chant. And sometimes you see people, even they come to the kirtan, they're like this. Because they're very afraid that if they say that name, Hari or Krishna, then maybe when they leave the temple, their car won't be there. Although sometimes it so happens their shoes are gone. That happens sometimes. But that's not because they chanted the name Hari. So, Prabhupada writes in the fourth canto that even in Kali Yuga, the Yajna Purush has appeared. That Yajna Purush is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has appeared to accept our sacrifice. And what is that sacrifice? Parang Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Lord Chaitanya has come to accept our offering, our engagement of performance of Sankirtan. Complete. The Sankirtan movement, the sacrifice of Sankirtan, is complete. And we learn from Srila Prabhupada's writings that everything that we do in this movement is Sankirtan. Everything. You may think, oh, I'm just a pujari. No, you're also doing Sankirtan. You may think right now, I'm cutting vegetables in the kitchen. No, that's also Sankirtan. You may think, oh, I'm just a sweeper. No, you're also doing Sankirtan. This movement is the Sankirtan movement. Everything is required. We need the deities to be dressed very opulently, very nicely, so that our eyes will lose their attraction for the illusory forms. Soon as you go outside and you look at any of those big signboards, they're designed to attract you, to distract you, to cause you to forget Krishna. Some of them are so intense that you can't even look at them. So Prabhupada insisted the deities must be dressed very, very opulently so that we lose our attraction for the false material forms, the illusory forms. We have to become attracted to the beautiful darshan, the beautiful vision of Krishna. So, for the Sankirtan movement, opulent deity worship is also part of the Sankirtan movement. And if the temple is not clean, if the temple remains dirty, how much Hari Bol are you going to do? You're not going to want to jump up and down if the whole temple room is filled with dirt and dust. No, temple room has to be clean. And I know for me, if there was no prasadam, nah, I'm not going to be part of this movement. So there, everything is required in the Sankirtan movement. You need managers. If no one is managing the Sankirtan army, how will they go? How will they do? There has to be management. Somebody has to keep the accounts. Somebody has to pay the bills. And so all the services are required in the Sankirtan movement. Everything is required. So this movement is the Sankirtan movement. And we are meant to preach, distribute Krishna consciousness far and wide. Because the demons, they are preaching. The demons, the non-devotees are preaching very, very strong. They're making their movies. They're writing their books. They're making very silly laws, one after the other, lobbying for their different interests so that they can enjoy more and more sense gratification. So the demons are not asleep. They are very, very active. Kali is dancing day by day in here in Kali Yuga. Kali is really whipping it up. He's peaking. This is Kali Yuga. Day by day, he's peaking. And he's increasing more and more. That's why if you just pay a little attention to what's happening in the world, you see that the Kali Yuga is progressing more, faster, faster, more degradation, more cheating, more lying. We've seen just in the last year or two that the governments that become such rascals, so much cheating and stealing, so bad. All out America, too, very much, has been a big problem. All the cheating and stealing and lying, unbelievable lying and hypocrisy. Kali is having his feast. So we have to try our best to counteract the pushing of the age of Kali. We're fighting a war. When we join this movement, we have declared war. War against Kali. War against illusion. War against gross materialism. And our numbers are few. Very few numbers. And sometimes we feel overwhelmed. But we have no choice. We have joined the Sankirtan army. We are but foot soldiers. We are simply meant to execute the order of our general, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the general in the army of Lord Chaitanya's movement. We are meant to try our best in each and every one, in whatever way we can, to spread this Krishna consciousness movement based on the simple formula, chant, dance, and take prasadam. As I've said many, many times in public, that's the religion I joined. I joined the religion that teaches you chant the names of God, you dance in ecstasy, and then take some prasad. So the supreme enjoyment, and all of this is enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, specifically in his form as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now it's said here that at these sacrifices of Maharaj Gaya, there was this intoxicant, soma. So there is also intoxication in Krishna consciousness. We are meant to become intoxicated by chanting the holy name. I was preaching a few Saturdays ago, and somebody asked me a question, and then one of the people there, he said it for me, that you cannot chant too much. There's no question of, just like if you drink too much intoxicant, too much alcohol, or take too much drug, you can die. You can overdose. But there is no such thing as overdose when it comes to Sankirtan. No way possible. You can chant and dance. Actually, There's not enough time in the day to chant and dance. There's not enough time in the day to properly preach and perform Sankirtan. In the previous canto, there was this verse by Prithu that let me have millions of tongues and millions of ears so that I can hear and chant properly. Rupa Goswami also says a very similar thing. With two ears and one tongue, how is it possible for me to really appreciate Krishna's holy name? Let me have millions of tongues, millions of ears, then I can really hear. If you go to certain nightclubs or recording studios, they have a big array of speakers and they've turned it, the volume up to, the volume is supposed to go to 10, but they turned it to 12. Or they go, you go to those big outdoor concerts. They have so many big, big speakers. They want to blast the sound vibration. So we also want to blast the sound vibration of the holy name of God. And we want more and more people to chant. We will not be satisfied until everyone is chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. In the Adi Leela, chapter 9, there is the description of the Chaitanya tree. And it says that Lord Chaitanya, when he sees that the people have become intoxicated by Sankirtan, then Lord Chaitanya becomes very, very happy. So we are meant to be intoxicated, but not on the illusory intoxication, the cheap intoxication, liquor and drugs. These are imitation, and they cheat you. They cheat you, as Archita always says in the high schools and colleges. Yes, why do people take these intoxicants? Because they don't like their state of consciousness. So they're taking something to change that consciousness. Okay, for some temporary time, they get some so-called relief, but when it wears off, they're lower than where they started. Don't you always say that, Archita Das? I've heard you say that 500,000 times. But it's a good, very good line, good point. And what was one of the first things ISKCON published, one of the first pamphlets, Stay High Forever. Yes, that is Krishna consciousness. Stay high forever. Prabhupada explained. Imagine a room full of LSD. That's not even a drop of Krishna consciousness. Jai, that's for me. Yes. So the idea is, yes, we want to become intoxicated, but on the real thing, not some illusion. Not some cheating platform that actually destroys you. Any kind of intoxicant, it destroys you. Anyone who's taking alcohol, what does it do? It destroys the liver. Too much taking of alcohol, you get diseased liver. Or any kind of these illicit substances. It's actually... We also say this, Archita says this, I also say it. The very word intoxication, what's the root word? Toxic. Toxic means what? Poison. Hello? Any kind of intoxication you're taking, it's poison. You're destroying yourself. But spiritual intoxication is different. Nah, this is different. It is just the opposite. Not only does it not poison you, but it makes you better and healthier. Just look at me. Or sometimes I'll give the example of Krishna Bhavana. Now he's 70 years old, but he can still jump up and down like a 22-year-old. Why is that? Because of Sankirtan. Bhrigupati, how old are you? How old is this body now? 59. And you're still going out. As you did, when I first met Bhrigupati, it was in 1973. I was in Washington Square Park in New York, and I was going to play guitar and sing in one club in Greenwich Village. But there was Bhrigupati Das in Washington Square Park distributing books. Yeah, you didn't know I knew that about you. Yes, I was just starting to come to the temple, but I can still see you in Washington Square Park. That was 1973. You're still doing the same activity. You're still going out and distributing books, yes or no? You're going to go out today after breakfast? Yes. You must be intoxicated. Huh? I will tell you a story about Bhrigupati Das that tells me how great he was. This must have been 1974. We were at Columbia University in New York. And Bhrigupati was very bold in those days. I was kind of shy, believe it or not. When it came to book distribution, I was very shy. But Bhrigupati, no inhibitions. So there was this concert at Columbia University. I forget the singer's name. Oh, see, he remembers. Harry Chapin. He was big that time. He was like the cool guy at that time. So there was an auditorium. People were sitting down, and Harry Chapin was singing his songs, and we were going up and down the aisles distributing books. And at one point, we met at the back of the auditorium, and Bhrigupati says to me, "I'm going to distribute a book to Harry Chapin." I was going, no, don't do that. And there's Bhrigupati walking right up the aisle in the middle of the concert, and he hands the singer a book. And I'm going, no, I can't believe this is out. I didn't know what was good. Was there going to be a riot? Was there going to be the singer takes the book and hands it to his guitar player. The guitar player starts to read Krishna book in the microphone. And the audience goes wild. But that's not all. Bhrigupati asks him for a donation. And he gave you, did he not? He gave you $2. This is what you call fearless preaching. I'll never forget that, Bhrigupati. Yes, Hari Bol. Obviously, he was intoxicated in Krishna consciousness. I was not, because I was in the back shaking. Oh, no. Oh, no. Fearless. So, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they also became intoxicated by their Sankirtan distribution. They made no discrimination. Anyone and everyone should get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now there's another nice word in today's verse. Vishuddha, purified. Yesterday, one new bhakta was asking me, and I was explaining to him that everything we do in this movement is purifying. Not just the chanting. Yes, the chanting is the main thing, but actually everything we're doing in this movement is purifying. It's a purifying movement. From the time you get up, what's the first thing you do? You take a bath. That's purifying. Then you go to Mangal Arati. That's purifying. Then you walk around the tree. That's purifying. Then you chant japa. That's purifying. Then you look at the deities. That's purifying. Then you sit in the class and you have to tolerate somebody vituperating for 45 minutes. That's purifying. Then you take prasad. That's definitely purifying. Then you go and do your different duties. That's purifying. Whatever your duty is, cutting vegetables, working in an office, dressing the deities, cleaning, even your hammering, or whatever, that's all purifying. Everything we do in this movement is purifying. It's a purifying movement. Cheto darpanam marjanam. So just stay engaged in Krishna consciousness and you'll be purified. There's no doubt about it. Just stay engaged in this movement. Then we have another word. Bhakti yoga, by devotional service. This devotional service, this activity in Krishna consciousness, that is the definition of bhakti yoga, activity. What does Narada Muni teach? He teaches that, first of all, situate yourself in a mode of goodness. No illicit sex, no bad intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. Situate yourself in the mode of goodness, the best of the three modes. Then, become free from all designations. You're not that body. That's the first thing you learn when you join the Hare Krishna temple. Prabhu, you're not your body. Prabhu, step outside your body. I want to talk to you, Prabhu. You're not your body, Prabhu. Now, Prabhu, step outside your body. I want to talk to you. So the first thing you learn, you're not your body. And as I get older, I think, oh, thank God I'm not my body. I love it when I can look in the mirror in the morning and I go, but that's not you. Don't worry. Calm down. That's not you. You're far more beautiful than what you see in the mirror. So nothing to worry about. Yes. So that's the first thing you learn. So we come off the bodily concept of life. And when you live in the temple, you have to learn that. Because, I mean, even Swabhas has said many, many times to me years ago that joining the temple, he was associating with people that he would never have associated with in the material world. Especially if you join a big temple like New York or L.A. or big temple, you're meeting people from every conceivable walk of life, so many cultures. And you have to learn very quickly to get off the bodily concept of life that we're simply, everyone is simply Krishna's eternal servant. That's all. We're nothing else. That's all we are, Krishna's insignificant servant. But we're all servants of Krishna. We're all big, one happy family, Achyuta Gotra. One big happy family with Prabhupada managing the house that we all can live in. So, bhakti yoga means situate yourself in mode of goodness, cleanliness, next to godliness. Come off the bodily platform now with your senses. Engage your senses in the service of the master of the senses. The master of the senses, Rishikesha. Everyone please say. That is the Rishika Isha, the controller, the master of the senses. That's one of the names of Krishna. That he is the master of the senses. And with our senses, yes, they're material, but you can use your material senses in his service. That is what Narada Muni says, bhakti uchyate. Rishi kena rishikesha sevanam. Rishikena, with your senses, rishikesha sevanam. Serve the master of the senses. And Srila Prabhupada in his movement is giving you so many activities. This is important. In my preaching over the last so many years, many people cannot, or they have a hard time appreciating that spiritual life means activity. A lot of people, regardless of the religion or the culture, they have a hard time appreciating that spiritual life means activities. And Prabhupada has given us so many activities. So much activities. We are not simply meant to chant all day. We're not the Haridas Thakur movement. That can't be done. So besides chanting, the prescribed dosage, 16 rounds. All right? There's so many hours in the day, unless you're really slow like me, you can get your 16 rounds done in a couple of hours. So out of 24, a few hours for chanting, what about the rest of the day? So the rest of the day is meant for activities which engage your senses in serving the master of the senses. That's bhakti yoga. That's what we are all about. Okay, I'll stop there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Comments, questions, criticisms, challenges, etc. Your turn, boys and girls. Archita Das. No, I'm not. What do they say? Okay, as far as not feeling the pain of the body, we are not yogis attempting to get outside the body and achieve samadhi. So don't think that by executing Krishna consciousness that now no longer I'm going to feel aches and pains. That's not Krishna consciousness. So what happens is, I was explaining this yesterday to one devotee, that as you become more and more Krishna consciousness, the effects of the modes of nature act less stringently. When you're in the modes of passion and ignorance, then the material modes of nature have a very big effect on you. You really feel it. But as you practice bhakti yoga, this is what is taught in the Kapila Dev section of the Bhagavatam. As you execute Krishna consciousness, the stronghold of the material energy, she begins to release, release, release. But we also learned in the first canto, Nastaprayesha Bhadreshu. There's still going to be something. As long as you have a material body, there's going to be something. Toothache, headache, it's always going to be something. If you want complete freedom from the miseries, then you have to leave this world, you have to go to the spiritual world. So, no utopia here. But, as you perform Krishna consciousness, you learn how to transcend. Even Prabhupada was asked on some occasions, did you feel that? Prabhupada said, yes, but we have become tolerant. I think one time they stuck a needle in Prabhupada and the devotee said, Prabhupada, was there pain? He goes, yes, but we are tolerant. And even Krishna tells Arjuna, tolerate. So don't expect, I don't think Prabhupada ever said, yes, Krishna consciousness is a walk in the rose garden. I don't think that there's that verse. There's going to be some aches and pains and suffering. Deal with it. Chant Hare Krishna. Push forward. Anything else? That's it? Anything else? Thank you very much. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga.
Haribol. Haribol.